And in order to receive Christ, you must humble your heart. And that's why people don't like Christ's name mentioned. Did you know that in America, you can do Eastern religions? No problem. Taxpayers pay for that? No problem. You can speak poorly about Christ. You can say his name in vain. But you know what is against the law? Speaking well of God in public. Not speaking poorly, speaking well of God.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, part two of a message entitled, Why is Christianity Different? Yesterday, we learned that Christianity is not merely a religion. It's all about a person, the person of Jesus Christ, who claims to be the Son of God. Now, either he's telling the truth or he is completely delusional. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. Here's Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, Why is Christianity Different?
Let's read the scripture. Ready? Go. We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Would you circle the word eyewitnesses? Eyewitnesses. You see, would you write in the next number two there? Christianity is historically accurate and verifiable. Historically accurate and verifiable. You can actually verify these things. In some different religions, you have names of cities or angels that you cannot verify them. They're not found anywhere. It was one man's solo effort to get people to buy into something that he did. But Jesus Christ was open and publicly able to be scrutinized. In fact, if it were a perpetrated lie, then everyone would have, the disciples, bought into this and perpetrated it. But you see, Peter was someone who had to be convinced. If you recall, he denied Christ. And then after the death and resurrection, he wanted to go do his own thing. He had to be convinced. The other thing is, Thomas was another one that doubted the Lord. And James, his own brother, half-brother, because after Mary had Jesus, she and Joseph had more children, of which one was, we find the book at the end of the Bible, the book of James. That's Jesus's half-brother, as it were. So we find that he refused to believe until after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to him, his heart was changed. Everything that Jesus did is historically accurate and verifiable. Not only is it verifiable where you can go through any of the cities now in Israel and see historical archaeological digs of all that Jesus spoke about. Not only that, if you go into the Old Testament, did you know that there are over 660 major prophecies that pinpoint and delineate even specifically who Jesus would be, when he would be born, where he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. I mean, it is prophesied 400 years before he even arrives. Prophesies the surroundings into which he would be born, his lifestyle, even how he would die to the T. All of these prophecies, 60 of them, would converge on the life of one person. And if you talk about scientific probabilities of that just happening by chance, they did some scientific probabilities if 10 major prophecies all converge into one person just by chance, that would be one in a 100 billion chances. 100 billion chances to one that could happen. Now that's just for 10. For 60 prophecies to be fulfilled in one person, chances of that just happening is 1 in 10 to the 165th power. That's like millions of trillion to 1 that could happen. In other words, God is saying, how intellectual do you want to be? I'll give you enough evidence to put your brain on tilt. And at the end of the book of John, it says, in fact, so many more things were written about Jesus Christ that if all that were put into books, he said, I suppose that even the world would not be able to contain all the books written about him in libraries. But, he said, these have been written in order that you may believe. There's enough here that you can believe. I was speaking to a nerve surgeon some time ago. His name is Dr. Paul Brand, who was actually the Surgeon General some years ago, and he works on nerves, microsurgery. And he's a wonderful Christian man. And I said to Dr. Brand, I said, Dr. Brand, when you go into the depths of the human anatomy and you start to study the microscopic organisms of nerve endings, etc., I said, what does that tell you? Does it move you further away from God or nearer to God? He said to me, Wayne, the more I study the human anatomy and go into the microscopic entity of the body, I am more and more convinced of the Creator God that wove us delicately with an intentional purpose and plan. I see His fingerprints everywhere, even through the microscope. If you're an astronomer, he said, the more you study the stars and the rotational pattern, the precision of it, he says, you'd know that that's not a mistake. It takes more faith to be an evolutionist than it does to be a Christian. And you got to go way out on that one. He said, did you know that in 60 or 80 years, astronomers can predict to the exact second of the next solar eclipse or the next total eclipse, because the rotational orbit of this solar system and our planets, even though tons and tons of matter whipping through space, did you know that this Earth is going 66,000 miles an hour whipping through space, rotating on its axis at 23 degrees. When it's moving at that fast, it's so precise and so precision, astronomers can predict the next total solar eclipse or total eclipse, because everything is so predictable, it's so perfect, that man sets their watches based on that. And this is millions of tons of matter flying through space. To think that all of this was a mistake, it would be like you taking a Timex watch and beating it with a mallet and a sledgehammer until this thing is busted up, completely destroyed, put it in a paper bag and just shake it like this for 20 years and pull it out, and it's a Rolex watch with precision time to the moment. So you got to be able to believe that that would happen, because that's exactly what's taking place. It is a massive Rolex watch to precision time, and that just doesn't happen. That is a Creator's handiwork and craftsmanship. So there's enough evidence in the Bible to show you and me that indeed God is true, historically accurate and verifiable beyond compare. And it was not just a belief system of one man who found something way up in the corner of a cave and then tried to get everybody to believe into it. No, it wasn't some salesman trying to say, well, I did this, you can't verify it, but I did this. No. Did you know that after Jesus Christ lived in public, died, and was resurrected? Listen to this. Let's read Acts 1:3 together. Ready? Go. To these he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking to them things concerning the kingdom of God. Circle 40 days. It's over a month. In his resurrected form, he would speak with people. You notice when Peter was out on the boat, he said, Peter, come in, let's have fish. He could say, look at my hands, check it out. He said to Thomas, check it out. And not only over a period of 40 days, watch this. Let's read the next one. Go. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until at the time of the writing. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, when Paul was writing, he said, if you wanted to verify any of these facts, people are still alive that talked with him and spoke with him. When Jesus Christ had died, if you know anything about crucifixion, the Romans slashed him with 39 lashes. These straps were not just leather straps. At the end, it was tied with shards of glass and bone that was sharp. And they would open up your back until it's hamburger. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head that have about an inch thorn, and they would beat it into his cranium. Do you know the pain that that would also create? And then on the cross, when they would drive spikes through his hands and feet, when he died, they took him down and put him in a tomb. But before they did, if you know anything about the balming that they would do, they put 100 pounds of aromatic balm on him. The frankincense and myrrh, that kind of stuff. That's actually incense or aromatic balm. They put 100 pounds. They'd coat him with it because in those days they didn't have refrigeration, so the decomposition would cause an odor. So they put 100 pounds of this, it's like glue on the body, and then they'd wrap you. Now you can't breathe for 3 days. Then they put him in a tomb, and about a ton and a half rock was put up against its mouth. And then, if you read the scriptures, they actually put a Roman seal on it so no one could open it. And they actually put a guard there because they heard that this man was going to rise in 3 days. That was prophesied. And so just to make sure it didn't happen, they put a seal on it and they put a Roman guard with the fact that if he let anybody in, he himself would have to die. So they watched it very surely. Through all of that, the Bible says he was resurrected and he showed himself alive 40 days, 500 people. And the neat thing is, those that doubted, like Thomas, his heart was changed. The amount of evidence and the amount of people at the time of this writing were eyewitnesses. All of these things were written down in testimony. And that's why Peter said, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power of his coming, the coming of our Lord Jesus. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, you know, well, if it were a lie, could it be? He said, first of all, nobody would die for a lie. Well, they might die if they thought it was the truth. But to know that it was a perpetrated lie, no one would die for that. To take that to your grave, that's absolutely nuts. Maybe one if he's brainless. Maybe two if they're both brainless and brothers. But never all of these people that died for their faith. Recently, you may have read, you remember that Sasquatch? This big, like a gorilla in the forest that left these big footprints, and it was like the big deal, and the abominable snowman. Well, about a year ago, a man died, and just before he died, he actually confessed that he had made some cement footprints, put it in the snow, put on a big costume, and had his wife take pictures of him, and then they perpetrated this hoax. But he was about to die, and it was in the newspaper, he was about to die, so he couldn't take this lie to the grave. You see, the thing is, if you know it's a lie, you just can't take it to the grave with you. I mean, that'd be horrid. So if they thought it was a lie, they can't take it to the grave. But I want you to know something. Listen, here's how the disciples died. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Philip, Simon, Bartholomew were all themselves crucified because they followed Christ and they believed that he was alive. And when they tried to have them deny their faith, they said, we can't, but we're going to kill you. Then you will have to, because we are eyewitnesses of his glory and his miracles, and our lives have been transformed. We cannot deny it. They themselves were crucified. Do you think all of them would die for a lie? Matthew, James, the son of Zebedee, and Paul, the apostle, were all beheaded. Thaddeus, when they tried to get him to deny his faith, he wouldn't. They shot him through with dozens of arrows. And then Thomas, the one that doubted at first and then came to Christ, he was killed with spears. They ran him through with spears because he wouldn't deny his faith. The only one who died of old age was John the Beloved, and as he who was exiled to an island called Patmos for his faith. Do you understand? Every single one of them died because of what they saw and knew was to be the truth. Why would all of them die for a lie that they were perpetrating? Be ridiculous. So you can see the massive change in their lives. You see, all of them were convinced that he was alive after the resurrection, because without the resurrection, you wouldn't have the proof of such a powerful, powerful faith. But every single one of them were eyewitnesses of it. They saw it. And at first, they didn't believe. They themselves had to be convinced, and they were. And you see, what makes Christianity so powerful is this. It is not a dead philosophy. It's not a dead religion. You see, would you write in your third point? He is not dead. He is alive. How many of you are glad for that? He is alive. That's why Hebrews 13:8 says, let's read it, go. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, whoops, yes, and forever. Glad he's alive, I can't read. The next one. He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as it were, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. That's Paul speaking. And John, the revelator on Patmos, Jesus appears to him. And let's read this out of Revelation. Go. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell. Hallelujah for the risen King. Hallelujah for the Lord. Now make no mistake, Christianity is not a philosophy. Because you see, you can have many philosophies of life, but there's only one way to God. That's what makes him so powerful. The name of Jesus is powerful. And you're going to have even discrimination in the U.S. today. You know why? Because Jesus Christ compels people to make a decision. Did you know that in the schools, you can allow Eastern religions in? Doesn't really bother people. You know why? Because it's a teaching and it's a philosophy that people can pick or choose. They can buffet lunch that and choose what they want and leave what they don't want. But when Jesus Christ comes, he makes you make a decision. He compels you to decide. Because he's not another philosophy. He's either Lord or not. He's either someone that's lying or someone who is Lord of all creation. And he compels us to make a decision. And when you make the decision to follow him, that'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. And what the Bible is saying is, how much evidence do you need? I'll give you enough evidence to boggle your brain. But you know what I found? I found when that the Lord compels me to make a decision, it really does not have anything to do with mind. People say, well, this is intellectually not astute enough, this religious stuff. No, no, no. You want enough to boggle your brain. Some of the most phenomenal astrophysicists, some of the greatest quantum physicists, the doctors, leaders, astronomers, musicians are all Christians. They love God. They're brilliant people, absolutely stunning. And these aren't people that are brain dead. They're brilliant people. You need intellectual evidence. There's enough to go over the edge if you want to go on a quest. In fact, C.S. Lewis, one of the more brilliant minds of yesteryear, and even now, Josh McDowell, did you know that they were on quests to disprove Jesus Christ? And in their quest, they were proven otherwise. And they gave their hearts to Christ. M. Scott Peck, one of the greatest psychologists who wrote The Road Less Traveled and some other books, he in his beginnings found that Jesus Christ to be true, and he was converted through all of the process. You see, tremendous people in their honest quest to find out about God will have their theories disproven. But let me tell you something. When people say, well, it's not intellectually stimulating enough, it has nothing to do with intellect because there's plenty there to boggle your brain. You know what I found? Even after my quest of seeing whether or not this was really true, I still had a hard time receiving Christ. I'll tell you why. It had nothing to do with my mind and intellectually understanding the proof and evidence of his being alive and the activities of Christ. Those were all verifiable and provable. You know what was hard? I'll tell you why it was hard, because it's not an issue of your mind. It's an issue of our self-will. That's what Jesus challenges. Because when you receive Christ, you know what I had to say? I had to say this, Lord, I was wrong. Now that was really hard. See, I had to make a confession. And the confession is, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And human beings have a real tough go at that because we're so self-willed. And we'll use any other excuse, intellectualism, academia, whatever it might be. We'll use all of that as a smokescreen because it comes down to an issue of the heart. We are self-willed people. And in order to receive Christ, you must humble your heart. And that's why people don't like Christ's name mentioned. Did you know that in America, you can do Eastern religions? No problem. It's even in our school. No problem. Taxpayers pay for that. No problem. You can speak poorly about Christ. You can say his name in vain. No problem. That's under free speech. But you know what is against the law? Speaking well of God in public. Not speaking poorly. Speaking well of God in public. All of a sudden they say, oh, church and state separation. You can't speak well of God. You can speak poorly of him. You can do Eastern religions, but you can't speak well of God. Sorry. You say, Wayne, do you have proof of that? Absolutely. Just this last week, Monday, Star Bulletin, putting out classes for the University of Hawaii. Let me read to you some of the things that your tax money is going for. Bonafide classes taught by professors on university time. Here's the first one. Living Tai Chi. The ancient life force secrets. Effortlessly unlocking the door to personal empowerment and to manipulate the chi energy. Next class, Introduction to Yoga. Basic postures of Hatha Yoga inspired by the teachings of Bhagwan K.S. of India. Teaching, now these are classes that you take at the university. Eastern religions, Eastern stuff, Eastern philosophy. Here's another one, Yoga Spectrum. Learn the Hatha Yoga plus energy and mind control to improve your energy, mind, and spirit. Zen meditation is the next one. Basic instructions in Rinzai meditation. All being taught right here. Next one. This is all being advertised. Same page. Art of Qi Kung. A discipline whose practice allows us to control the life force that courses throughout our bodies. And you know that life force they talk about in Hinduism? That's called the Kundalini force. It's the cobra god inside of you. That's why they do certain kind of postures to allow the cobra life force to come through. And then here's one I think you'd really like. Bath bags, herbal dream pillows, and Bach flower remedies. It's a class. Take that. Make a nourishing soup that helps not only your body, but your soul. And then here's the last one I'm sure all of you want to sign up for. Belly dancing. But I won't go into that one. Now, Wayne, why do you say all of that? Because you've got all of those Eastern religions that are just being taught as classes. But where's any Christian class? Very next page. Here's a strange thing. The very next page, you might not be able to see it, but court to hear religious study case. Let me tell you what this is about. Associated Press. This latest case involves students in training to become ministers or church leaders. 15 states have a constitutional ban on state spending for theology classes. Justices will decide next year whether or not this person has freedom to practice religion. This case involves a Washington State student who wanted to use some state grant money to help pay for his tuition at Northwest College, a Christian college. And the state refused to allow the grant money to be used because he was majoring in theology. So they have a ban on that. Do you understand the inconsistency? You know why? People are not afraid of Eastern religions, we teach them. But when it comes to Christian things, they're very concerned about it. Because philosophies and teachings and religions, you can take or leave. But when Jesus comes into your life and compels you, you must decide. That's why people don't like it. But you see, when you say yes to him, that will be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. And when I look back on the time that I said yes to Christ when I was 19, I would do it again in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. You have enough here to boggle your mind intellectually, but it's not a mind thing. The Bible says the foolishness of God is much higher than the wisdom of man. What is it? It's a heart thing. And that's why the Lord always confronts our hearts, so that we humble our hearts and say, you're right, Lord. I will never have enough brains to figure you out in 50 lifetimes. Because it's not a mind thing, it's a heart issue. And that's why when we come to Christ, we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of grace. And the Lord says, good, you just made the most eternal decision you'll ever make in your life. How many of you are glad you said yes to Jesus Christ?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, Why is Christianity Different? By Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship and heard each day at this time. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.